This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, good to have you with us on a Thursday edition of the Radio Showgram. We have all sorts of news circling and buzzing around, Commanders and non-Commanders wise, and we will cover it all as best as we possibly can. You got lots of college basketball tournaments, including the Patriot League last night. How about that? Congratulations to American University. Oh, getting an NCAA tournament berth right here in the district with a big win over Navy. And how about this? Duke down at halftime, baby, to Georgia Tech. All sorts of things going on right here on a busy, busy Thursday. We start with the news. Denton, I'm sure, mentioned it because he mentioned it to me. So I just want to make sure I get it out there. I don't forget. Andrew Wiley, according to all the beat reporters, Ben, Kime, Nikki, Sam, maybe not all the beat reporters, you know what I'm talking about. Commanders and Andrew Wiley have agreed to a contract restructure. And basically, Wiley had a $6.5 million base, a $1 million roster bonus, a $10.4 million cap hit. I would have to imagine, again, they probably convert the roster bonus into some sort of guarantee, maybe a trim on the base. I'm not sure. Lower the cap number from 10.4. To, I don't know, six, seven, somewhere in that range. Don't have all the details yet. What is more important and what is very, very, very much more, structurally for our show and for what people care about is this means Andrew Wiley is staying with the team, which shouldn't be a surprise. But also, the question now becomes, as the drumbeat has gotten louder just over the last 24 hours, when most of us, I don't want to say all, when most of us thought the most likely scenario is that with the Tunsil deal, that Brandon Coleman goes into left guard and Nick Allegretti basically, could start at right guard for Sam Cosmi or becomes the top backup, the top interior backup, and Wiley would start at right tackle because Cornelius Lucas was no longer a part of the mix when signing with the Cleveland Browns, and Trent Scott is a free agent. So we don't know if he's definitely going to be back. And while they surely will address this position in the draft, basically what it could be looking like right now, and I know my guy Ben Standing has been on this, and I believe he was the first one to kind of go hard with it. Go hard with it might be a strong word. He's calling it his best read on the offensive line situation. And I first started seeing Ben say this yesterday, before the Wiley contract restructure, was that Brandon Coleman would move to right tackle, not left guard, and Wiley would become a backup offensive tackle. Now, Wiley has not played a lot of left tackle, so that's my question slash problem with that. I'd have to double check if how many snaps he has at left tackle, but I'm not aware of many. He played guard and right tackle in Kansas City. And I was thinking, okay, Wiley would be the starting right tackle with, again, Coleman at left guard and Allegretti probably at right guard, unless you knew that Cosmi was healthy and ready to go for week one, in which then I guess you could pivot at some point and ask Coleman to play right tackle. That's what I was kind of thinking. But it seems like, and I don't want to say they have a different plan, this is just Ben speculating, but informed speculation is what I would guess. Somebody is probably telling him that the thought process right now is Brandon Coleman over to right tackle and Andrew Wiley becoming the backup swing. Now, again, that's not guaranteed by any means. Not guaranteed by any means. But it's interesting because we know Andrew Wiley has not been great at right tackle. We know he's a better run blocker than he is a pass protector, all of that stuff. But in order to be a swing tackle, if you're not great at right tackle, and he's certainly not great at right tackle, what would he be at left tackle is my question, right? I mean, I like Andrew Wiley, nice guy. I have no problem with him being on the team. None of that. But what I don't know is, can he play, if the plan is for him to be the swing tackle, can he play left tackle at any kind of decent level? And maybe the answer to that is, yeah, he can, decently. Maybe it's not an absolute train wreck. But I don't know about you guys. I don't want, it's not a train wreck. Like, with all the cap room, even though they've used up a bunch of it, we can't find somebody who has played more left tackle, who has proven some chops at left tackle. We can't find anybody. And maybe the answer is, well, that's why they haven't made that decision yet. Perhaps. But if that's the plan, and I'm not saying it absolutely is, but if that is the plan, then that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, in my opinion. Right? And I understand. You can't go heavy at left tackle Laremy Tunsil, and then whatever else you've spent, and obviously a heavy investment in Sam Cosmi at right guard, and go heavy at swing tackle. I get it. But my point in all of this would be, I know Coleman can play left guard. I know Wiley can play at least an adequate right tackle. And yes, he can be a swing or a backup at right and left tackle. It's not like it's complete. I mean, it's a different technique, but it's not a completely foreign type thing. But again, if he struggles, and he has pass pro wise at right tackle, where a lot of teams have obviously spent a lot of money bulking up their pass rush over the last 12, 13, 14 years, on the left side of their defense because of what teams were trying to counter and so on and so forth. I'm not saying that he can't play left tackle, but can he play it at even a decent level? And the answer to that is, I don't know, because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it. But there's guys out there that could probably be a better swing tackle option than Andrew Wiley. And maybe, again, we just haven't seen the rest of the plan, and maybe Ben is getting ahead of himself a little bit based on what they have here. Like, for instance, if Tyron Smith doesn't decide to retire, which there's been plenty of thought that he would, you know, could you bring him back in? He probably wouldn't because of Tunsil, and there'd be no opportunity to start here. But maybe, right? Maybe. Can you bring back, I don't know, he's bounced around to a bunch of teams. I'm not saying it's a great solution. Jaron Christian, right? Former third-round pick here. Can play the left and the right side. For my swing tackle, this is why Cornelius Lucas was a big loss. Because you know that Cornelius Lucas could play left tackle. Do we know that Andrew Wiley can play left tackle at any sort of adequate level? And the answer to that for me, and based on any kind of history that I'm aware of, and I just tried to look at the detailed snap positions on PFF, but I wasn't able to find it on the fly because honestly, I haven't been thinking that Andrew Wiley was going to be the swing. And again, that's not official. That's not anything more than speculation or a reasonable guess, but it also could be based on what Ben is hearing, Standig, of The Athletic, and you hear him on with Kevin all the time. It could be that that is not just him speculating or guessing a shot in the dark and doing his own thing. It could be that he's getting some sort of idea or plan or concept or what have you from inside the building. That's how that works. Now, he's not going, source tells me Andrew Wiley is going to be the swing and Brandon Coleman's going to be the right. But again, it could be informed speculation. So I will take it and say, well, okay, that's certainly an option. The other option that makes more sense to me is Coleman at left guard, Wiley staying at right tackle, and having Allegretti be the right guard to start the year if Sam's not ready. And if not, have, you know, Allegretti and Coleman go at it at left guard and have Allegretti basically be the top backup, the top interior guard backup. But to me, if the plan is indeed what Ben is speculating, and I know Laremy Tunsil had, I know he played all 17 games last year. It doesn't mean he's going to play all 17 games this year. And if you have to start Andrew Wiley at left tackle, that is not a comfortable situation for me, or at least the way I look at it. Right? I mean, again, not every team has an automatic, surefire, built-in answer to fill every injury and every hole. I got it. Like last year in Detroit, when Sam blew out his knee on the goal line play on the dirty hit, Trent Scott went in at right guard. I don't remember seeing Trent Scott. I could be wrong. I don't remember seeing Trent Scott at right guard until then, or even at left guard. Well, clearly they felt like, hey, he can do the job, or it was, we don't have anybody else to do the job, and we don't want to switch Wiley, who has played guard during the game, and have Trent Scott at right tackle, because that's they could have done that. And they did not do that. And then for the NFC Championship game, they kept Wiley on the outside. right? And they had Trent Scott at right guard. Now, Trent Scott is a free agent, so he's not under contract yet. But if you told me, hey, Chris, what is the best option, the way I see it, granted, on March 13th, and still with plenty of time in free agency, this round, this wave, the next wave, the draft, so on and so forth. So again, all of this is subject to change. Right now, today, the way I see it, I would prefer, hope, whatever, that they sign back Trent Scott and have him and Allegretti kind of push at right guard. Trent Scott can be your backup right tackle. Brandon Coleman can be your backup left tackle, right? If, say, you move him to guard, you can switch him back out. And again, you don't want to be herky-jerky. You don't want to constantly be shaking things up. But football players are football players, man. They're going to play. They're going to give you an effort. They're going to give you a shot. Nobody's saying Brandon Coleman's going to be great. Nobody's saying that Trent Scott's going to be great. Nobody should be saying Laremy Tunsil is going to be great. But the point being is, and maybe this is a little too deep in the woods, I don't know. I hope you guys can understand where I'm coming from. Based on what we know right now, and based on, again, reasonable, I don't want to say informed speculation, but in all likelihood, informed speculation, I don't love that plan. I don't love that plan. I would rather have a different plan. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll all work out. In Adam we trust. Right? I mean, Bobby Johnson did a good job with the offensive line last year. The offensive line is better in their eyes than it is in your eyes. And I presume it's way better now, being that they just went out and got Laremy Tunsil. But to me, I don't want anybody playing at left tackle that hasn't played at left tackle in a long time. Because that is what might happen if you put Wiley at your swing tackle. Now, again, they know more about football than I do and than you do. But I think that's a reasonable concern. Maybe it's not a sexy concern, but I think it's a reasonable concern. So that's kind of the news of the day in terms of Andrew Wiley getting a contract restructure. But then we also found out, just a couple of minutes ago, they just brought back interior guard and center Michael Dieter, which is big because I think we mentioned this earlier this week, or maybe I just mentioned it on DC News Now. Michael Dieter is the only backup center on the now back with them. True, backup center. So that's important. So that's good, right? But then on top of that, we also found out earlier Denton in for Coach Sheehan had this a little less than an hour ago. KJ Osborne is back on a one-year deal. To that, I say, huh? What? I'll explain more in just a couple of moments right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980. We're going to spend some time on the Caps today. We're going to spend a little bit of time on college hoops, and some other things that we may have to deal with. And away we go on a Thursday. AMAX with us on the other side of the glass. Good to have him aboard with us. You're also going to hear at some point, or we'll talk about it, from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB. Who basically thinks the Commanders have had a terrible offseason. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know how you could say that, but He's basically said it. More on that and much more on the show on a Thursday. Just getting rocking and rolling in the nation's capital and beyond. Always live and free on the Odyssey app, on the Team 980, all throughout the DMV. Stay with us.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Always live and free there. Just getting rocking and rolling on a Thursday afternoon, about 25 minutes after the hour of hour number one. Hey, Mac on the other side of the glass. So we've got a lot going on. Michael Dieter, I know that's not a name that many of you are concerned about, but back in the fold as one of the free agents. And again, the only true center backup. I mean, he started a game for Tyler Biadasz last year, played in a couple of others. And again, depth is important. As they found out, my guy J.P. Finley mentioned this on the way in, and he's absolutely right. We've talked about this. You know, when Chase Roullier was one of the great surprise finds, if you will, of the draft in the sixth round in 2019, I guess it was, under Jay and Bill Callahan, you know, they gave him a contract, and then all of a sudden, ba-boom, 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 the injuries. And they were going through like four and five centers because nobody could, A, stay healthy, and nobody was good. I mean, it's really, really, really important, guys. Really important. Oh, we just got some breaking news. So, AMAC, you were telling me about this. ESPN just flashed it on the screen. Cooper Flagg of the Duke Blue Devils. Again, just everybody should just realize and relax that it is the ACC tournament, and it means largely very little. He is out for the rest of the game.
Mm.
He is out for the rest of the game, is Cooper Flagg. Georgia Tech is now trailing Duke 41-35 with 13 minutes and change left to go. Duke was down by 6 at the half, so Cooper Flagg out with an ankle injury. So we'll keep you up to date as much as we can on that particular situation. But the bottom line is, Michael Dieter being back makes sense. You know what doesn't make sense? KJ Osborne. That's what doesn't make sense. And listen, again, far be it from me to understand every move and to know what they know. I know this. KJ Osborne was a good player in Minnesota. He was a good player in Minnesota. And coming over here as a waiver claim, when he did, I'm sure was tough. I'm sure that was tough for him to do. But he played in one game. Like, are we to believe that he was that far behind learning the offense and feeling comfortable in the offense that he couldn't help at all? I mean, it's not like we were talking about a series, a litany of Hall of Famers that he was trying to compete with. Again, he signed late in the regular season. I forget the exact date, but it was like early December, I want to say. He's been productive elsewhere. I got to be honest with you, all of us, he was so far removed from the brain and thought process. All of us said, well, hey, they got, you know, four wide receivers that are free agents. Deami Brown, he's already gone. Olamide Zaccheaus, he's still out there. Jamison Crowder, he's still out there. And Noah Brown. Nobody that I know of included KJ Osborne in that mix because nobody thought he would come back. He literally played one game. Right? So, I don't know. I mean, I understand that he can help them with a full offseason and all of that. I get that. I do. But that's kind of a weird look, isn't it? That you would have a dude who played, I think the number was 19 snaps in one game and was so far either overmatched or behind. And again, some of that is reasonable that they would go and make him somewhat of a priority. And maybe it's just the line of the way things fall into place. Oh, KJ Osborne. Yeah, I'll come back here, you know, for 1 year in the veteran minimum. And we've heard 1 year. We haven't heard the term or the price, I should say. I'll come back here. Oh, okay. We'll get it done in case Noah Brown gets something done elsewhere, in case Jamison Crowder leaves. And maybe they've made up their decision that they don't want those guys back. We don't know this at this point, right? So some of these answers are impossible to know. But what doesn't make a whole lot of sense is this. Even though KJ Osborne has been productive in his career, he's played a lot of football. He's played 67 games. He has over 1,900 receiving yards. He has 16 career touchdowns. So again, what makes sense is the player that they claimed and that they snapped up. That makes sense. What didn't make sense in any way, shape, or form to me is the fact that he couldn't get on the field at all. At all. And maybe Adam Peters and the personnel staff is just looking at it kind of similarly to how they looked at Marshawn Lattimore, which was that wasn't a move made just for last year. It was a move made for this year and next, or this year. I guess that's the thought process, and that's the thinking, but weird to me, right? And I'm guessing weird to you that a guy who played less than 20 snaps, who couldn't crack the rotation, when not exactly battling Hall of Famers, is the first guy to re-sign at the position amongst the group of five. And everybody kind of thought it was four because nobody thought a KJ Osborne was even alive anymore. I got to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Nobody even knew he was here. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to a trending alert, and then we'll get to your calls right after that. 301-230-0980, just getting rocking and rolling. We haven't even touched on the big moves from yesterday, which we will get to, because I haven't had a chance to talk about them much. Certainly on the radio, a little bit on Twitter or X, but I got to get into it on the radio with you guys, and we'll do that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, so we told you the big college basketball news. Cooper Flagg, I may have said Cooper Kupp. Cooper Flagg is out for the rest of the game with an ankle injury. Duke leading Georgia Tech 48-43 in ACC play as really the day kind of just gets going. St. John's over Butler in Big East play 58-40, about 11 minutes left to go there. Indiana fighting for an NCAA tournament spot as an at-large, losing to number 23 Oregon 48-45, and Iowa State has a 53-49 lead over BYU. The Arkansas Razorbacks getting drubbed right now by Ole Miss 32-21. We will have the rest of the local slate for you. Of course, last night, American clinching a spot in the NCAA tournament with a win here in D.C. over Navy. So that was great news for them. Meanwhile, the Caps are back in action tonight, late night in Los Angeles against the Kings. It's Pierre-Luc Dubois and Matt Roy also making his return to Los Angeles. They will do so at 10:30. Pregame coverage 10:15 over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And from the NFL, the New England Patriots continue to make moves and continue to subtract from their previous roster, letting go of longtime but injured captain David Andrews at center. And that's what's trending. Get right back into the rest of the signings from yesterday in just a moment. I was just talking to AMAC during the break. We told you during the trending alert that Cooper Flagg, different than Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp's the free agent wide receiver formerly of the Rams. We can maybe get to him. Cooper Flagg out for the rest of the game. Now, AMAC, you, just moments before I saw that he was ruled out for the rest of the game, you saw the injury. And he is, what, back on the bench and kind of like hobbling around, right, or laboring around, but back on the bench and actually walking on it. Mm-hmm. But you saw the injury, and it looked pretty nasty.
It looked very nasty. He actually went to the locker room in a wheelchair.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but apparently they got it taped up. He's back on the bench now. There was video of him walking from the locker room to the bench. He was walking gingerly, but the fact that he was able to do that after being carried off in a wheelchair, it's
all right.
I mean, I know he's ruled out, but if he was to play, what a story that would be, right?
Well, I mean, here's one thing that I could probably safely say. He ain't going to play in the rest of the ACC tournament.
No.
Why? Because it doesn't matter. The question is, for you college basketball junkies, does Duke in some way, shape, or form get hit with a two seed on Sunday because they either get rolled early in the ACC or because there is a significant medical update and report about Cooper Flagg not being available for the early part or at all? All right, we've got more breaking news. which we will give you in just a moment here, right here on the Team 980, as it continues to roll in, and we are on it. We were just talking about the wide receiver position. We were just talking about KJ Osborne re-signing with the Commanders, and we were kind of confused by that, not because of the player, not because of his past, but because of the way things happened here. But we said maybe this is just a string of things and not necessarily, oh, we're choosing him over somebody else and we're only bringing him back and letting everybody else go. And we kind of surmised, okay, you know, maybe this would trigger something one way or the other. And it has. So here's the breaking news. Noah Brown is back with the Commanders. 1 year, up to $4.5 million, according to Standig, Nikki, and I'm sure others. So Noah Brown is back. Now, listen, Noah Brown can help them as a blocker. Oh, I just saw the Cooper flag injury. Okay. Ooh, yeah, he came down hard off of a rebound, and his knee was kind of cocked up, and then he hit flat on the wood in the paint, and he just buckled and went down, and I see him in the wheelchair and all that good stuff. Ooh, okay. So, again, we'll do our best to keep you up to date on that one. But Noah Brown, listen, I have no problem with Noah Brown coming back. Because I know Noah Brown can play in this system. The one thing I also know about Noah Brown is he can't stay healthy. So I'll be interested to see what the minimum guarantee is or base or whatever. And if we're thinking this way, there's not a guarantee, again, that Noah Brown is going to be healthy enough to even make the roster. That's the one thing about Noah Brown. Like, I know he had some issues hands-wise last year. He also made some great catches. Noah Brown can play, and he can block like a mother. Okay? But he's had trouble staying on the field. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. And if you can't help somebody by staying on the field, not that you're useless, that's too strong. I mean, forget about the Hail Mary catch. That was just in the right place at the right time. Noah Brown also had 35 catches, or 34 other catches, I should say. 453 yards, only the one touchdown. 12.9 average, helped out by the Hail Mary, of course. But he can block. But the last time we saw Noah Brown, because of the very serious kidney issue, I think it was kidney, or maybe it was gallbladder, one of those two, was on December 1st against Tennessee. And they had said at that time, it was 4 to 6 weeks, right? Well, we didn't see him the rest of the regular season. We didn't see him in the postseason. So, essentially, he missed. They went on the bye after that, and then they had four regular season games after that and three postseason games. So it was basically 8 weeks that we didn't see Noah Brown. Now, what we don't know is could he have played, I guess, if it wasn't so close to the end of the season. But I have to double check this. I don't even think he was practicing. So, again, I like Noah Brown. He missed the first game of the year because he had just gotten here maybe like a week before, 8 days before. Not a surprise there. Think he missed another game, if memory serves me correct. I'll have to double check that for you. But I like Noah Brown. This move makes sense, with the exception of the injury worries. Again, KJ Osborne makes sense from a football perspective, from a, hey, he's done this at this level and done it at a pretty decent level. But I got to be honest with you, again, and this is my fault, but I know I wasn't the only one. You almost forgot about him because he didn't play from the time they claimed him. And Noah Brown missed the Tampa season opener and then missed the Cleveland game after the Arizona win in the two-game road game tango, and then returned for Baltimore and actually had a pretty decent day. So he did miss the one extra game besides all the games at the end of the season and the Tampa game, which, okay, somewhat understandable. But Noah Brown, I totally get. I agree with. I understand. KJ Osborne, I get from a football perspective, from a what he's done perspective. What I worry about, what I question, what I don't know about is why he couldn't play at all. He couldn't crack the rotation at all. And I don't remember if Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury were asked about that at any point late during the regular season. I'm sure they were, but I don't remember it. A lot to remember. But it's interesting as we look now and this roster takes shape, right? You have at wide receiver going into the draft, going into the offseason program, not going into the season. You have, obviously, Terry, Debo, Luke McCaffrey, Noah Brown, KJ Osborne, and then a bunch of other guys. But right now, that's what you have. You don't have, right now, Olamide Zaccheaus, who was instrumental last year. Whether you love him or you don't love him, Olamide Zaccheaus was a part of this offense, and he was a pretty productive part of the offense compared to what was kind of expected. I know I didn't have a huge expectation level, but he's a free agent. Jamison Crowder's a free agent. Again, Noah Brown just re-signed. KJ Osborne re-signed. You have McCaffrey. And then you have a bunch of young developmental guys like your Bryson Tremaines and future reserve guys that are still out there. Chris Moore. Is Bryson Tremaine still with the team? I don't see him listed here. He may have not been brought back. Kazmir Allen, who can play a little running back, scat back, that type of thing. I have to check on Bryson Tremaine. But the point being is the offseason roster is starting to take shape. And we haven't even gotten to the very interesting signing right after we got off the air, again, right after, about 45 minutes or so after yesterday. And then one late last night. We'll tackle that next as the Commanders go Patriots, Patriots. We'll tell you the details, and then we'll grab your calls at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, right back at you. About 7 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll grab your calls just as soon as we can. Just hang on. I got to get a couple of things done here first. Dietrich Wise was added to the Commanders last night. He a hog. Love me some Arkansas Razorbacks, baby. But Dietrich Wise, 6'5", 280 pounds, formerly of the New England Patriots. Longtime veteran, good leader. And he's basically the first edge guy that they've added to the mix. Now, I say basically because we don't know how they're going to use Javon Kinlaw. Remember we were talking the other day, for those of you that are regular listeners and pay attention, that there was an idea floated that Javon Kinlaw could play out on the, the end in what Dan Quinn used to call an elephant end position. And I don't want to take credit for that because I didn't think about that. I was wondering whether they could use him in a bigger body role to help set the edge. But Chad Forbes, I think it's Chad Forbes, was the draft guru that brought this up. So I want to make sure I give credit. But Dietrich Wise is not a defensive tackle. He's an end, right? And he's a leader, and he's been, a versatile guy. I played, from what I can chart on Pro Football Focus, he played a lot at the REO position, which is, I think, basically the opposite of the Leo position that you might hear in several defenses, which is basically the strong side end position, right? So he played more in that 143 snaps, but played at regular right end 68 snaps, at the Leo position for New England last year 61 snaps at the left end. So basically, he's versatile that he could play on both sides, right? And my understanding of Dietrich Wise is he's going to give you not only a warm body, but he's also going to be one of these guys that you are never going to have to worry about in terms of being a hot dog, in terms of being on his own, improvisational, if you will, or being out of the scheme. You don't play for Bill Belichick as long as he did. And then, granted, last year was different than Bill Belichick. You don't play for Bill Belichick and just do your own thing. Improvise. That's just not the way it works. Right? Now, is Dietrich Wise some great option? No, not at all. Not at all. He's got, if you're looking for run defense grades, just let me give you a few. Last year, 2024, only a 54.8, according to PFF, out of 100. Not great by any means. A 49.7 the year before that. Playing a total of 615 snaps. The year before that, played a total of 828 snaps. Seems to be way too much. But a 59.7 run grade. A 63.0 run grade in 2021. 521 snaps overall. So basically you can see that he's like a high 50s, low 60s in terms of the run defensive grade. And again, that's only PFF. That's only PFF. So he can help you a little bit there. He's not going to help you much in terms of like an explosive pass rusher. He's not Dante Fowler, but he's not incapable of not helping you as a pass rusher. Now, PFF does their sacks weird, right? They count half sacks as full sacks. So I just want to make sure I get the correct full sack total on Dietrich Wise from last year. 5 sacks. Like PFF has him listed at, the 5 sacks. Okay, so it was right. 3 quarterback hits, 20 total pressures, 12 hurries, a batted ball, 11 tackles, 2 missed tackles. I'll give you all the numbers. Yeah, Dietrich Wise isn't going to light the world on fire. But with him, with Kinlaw, with Javonte Jean-Baptiste, with whatever, and Eddie Goldman yesterday, that happened right as we were leaving the air. Like, they have fortified their defensive line, losing Jonathan Allen in the process. Doesn't look like they're bringing back Sheldon Day, but I can't rule it out. And maybe they will because they need a deep body rotation. But that's where it's looking right now. All right, so Dietrich Wise, thoughts on him. We'll get to Jonathan Jones on the other side as well. Big free agent corner edition, who I was sleeping on. I think a lot of people were sleeping on. Sleep no more. No sleep towards DC. We'll explain what we mean by all of that next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.